Now, that's the field service audit. Okay, the next type of audit, the most common type, is the correspondence audit, right? And basically, based on the pandemic, I think everything's been a correspondence audit. But a true correspondence audit, sort of, you know, pre-pandemic, was focused on really one or two specific issues that are coming out of the IRS. They had some hot button issues they wanted to focus on based on certain things. Doesn't mean it couldn't expand, and they still can expand, but that's sort of the way it works. But the correspondence audit, they request the information via writing, and generally there is at least one or two phone calls, but principally it's going back and forth via fax, or now a lot of the agents will use email. And that's how the process goes. What's that?
Not the first time they contact you. Always IDR first in the mail, but then we've had a lot of email correspondence after that and phone calls.
Yeah, that's a great clarification. So right here is the IRS's diagram of what a correspondence audit looks like. And it's essentially the same as a field audit. It's the same process. It's just done differently, right? So correspondence versus field audit. Understand that if you're subject to a field audit, they're probably going to look at a lot of stuff. Right? If it's a correspondence audit, you're going to figure out real quickly what they're looking for. So with that, I'm going to let Katie talk to you guys a little bit about what causes an audit risk.
Yes. So we've got, I know everyone has heard recently in the news that everybody's very nervous about this onslaught of new agents that's going to be hired, and everybody's getting nervous that everyone's going to be audited. And in reality, what we've seen over the last few years is that audits of taxpayers have actually decreased. But the Inflation Reduction Act of 2022 allocated that $80 billion to the IRS to hire 77,000 new agents. That is, of course, being contested right now, so we still don't even know if those people will be hired. But if they were to have this go through, more than half of those funds were to be used for enforcement, so they would be looking again at closing that tax gap. They're definitely looking at an escalation of audits on wealthy people and large businesses. They are, you know, looking for the money. They tend to not go after organizations that don't have a lot of potential for a tax liability. So they definitely are looking at higher income people. And then with those additional resources, the exempt organization sector, I think, has been pretty slimly staffed at the IRS over the last, you know, 5 to 10 years. It's been going down and down. And so there's a good chance that some of those people would be allocated to exempt orgs. So the tax exempt and government entities EO Council had a meeting in November where they gave us some stats on their 2020 audits. And in 2022, exempt orgs started 2,890 audits and closed 3,270. So there were three types. One was the compliance strategy, which they post every year. They announce at the beginning, here's our priority, you know, areas that we're going to be looking at this year. So of the compliance strategy audits, they started 207, which was only 7% of exams that were started for that year. And they closed 475 with a change rate of 85.9%. So a good portion of them did have some kind of change. The second type is data-driven, which they're running the 990s through their algorithms, and certain things highlight, you know, red flags, and so they'll get selected automatically if there's a certain amount of red flags that come up. And of those, they started 604 in 2022, which was 21% of exam starts. They closed 783 with a change rate of 84%. And the last type is referrals, claims, or casework. So somebody turns you in because they're mad at you or they don't like what you're doing. You have a disgruntled employee who doesn't think that things are right. Or, you know, it could come from other investigations into other taxpayers, things like that, where your nonprofit gets embroiled in this audit. And they started 2,079 of this type, and that was 79% of exam starts. So the vast majority of exams that were started in 2022 were based on referrals and other types of casework. They had a change rate there. I forgot to put how many were closed, but it was similarly large. And there was a change rate of only 73% there. So the other two types of audits had higher change rates, but there were far more audits that were generated by referrals. So that's very interesting. Our next topic here was what kind or which returns can be audited. So we know we have a three-year statute of limitations, but there are some exceptions for specific types of items that are being audited. For 4958 compensation issues, they can trace back to prior years when compensation arrangements were started. So if you have, you know, a comp contract that was 10 years old, but they believe that there's an issue that's been going on that whole time and they open an open year, they can trace that issue back further. And then they can also pick up the year before on basic issues that are not necessarily traceable to an earlier event. On compliance checks, this is not an audit, technically. This is usually just a... again, correspondence-based, hey, we found an issue and we want you to reply to tell us what's going on. Generally, it's a review of information and forms that the IRS requires, and they can cross-check this information. So cross-checking between a 990 and a 990T, I say on my 990, I have $100,000 of UBI. On my 990T, I say my gross